That should be it. Do you have to press any buttons to get it to do anything on the display?
Doing something.
Yeah, I might have done it. Can you exit out of the slideshow, go back into it?
Okay, good. Hello, I'm Nadia Arbash. I work at the V&A. I'm the digital programs manager there, and I thank you for sticking around for the last session. I'm going to be talking about Wikipedia Loves Art 2009 and Britain Loves Wikipedia 2010, the good and the bad, and possibly the ugly. These were two projects that were very similar to each other. That the V&A has done with Wikipedia. Both are about using museum images to illustrate Wikipedia articles and getting the public to take those images. And when you think about Wikipedia being a wealth of information and museums having a huge amount of objects that can be used to illustrate those articles, you think, what better combination could there possibly be? So I'll take you through these two projects and tell you what we did and how it worked out. So the first one we did last year in February, it was called Wikipedia Loves Art, and the Brooklyn Museum had done something quite like it the year before. I think they might have even called it by the same name. We were asked to join in the second year. And we were the only UK museum to join this project. Most of the other museums were from New York. Some of them were from the rest of America. And there were 12 of them. And the purpose was to get people to go into the museums and take as many pictures as they could of different objects in the collections. There was a list drawn up with 50 items, and it was somewhat like a scavenger hunt. People were allowed to participate in teams, and the team were the person that had the most pictures from each of the participating museums was the winner. And those images were then put onto the Wikimedia Commons with a Creative Commons share-alike license, and they were used to illustrate Wikipedia articles. So we wanted to join the project because it was a user-generated project. It was very collaborative with other museums as well as with the public. It was very open. The V&A has a very open photography policy, very unlike some other museums might have. It is our you are allowed to go into the V&A with a camera and take pictures of pretty much anything in the museum except for things that are in exhibitions because they don't necessarily belong to us, things that are in the jewelry gallery because of, I think, probably theft possibilities and other reasons, and also in the Raphael gallery because actually those don't belong to us specifically either, and I think that's it. You are not allowed to use a tripod, but otherwise you can go around and take pictures for your own use. So we did that project and we really enjoyed it. The people who came really enjoyed it. We got a lot of people from the London Flickr group coming to the museum to do that because we called on the Flickr group to come. We thought people who were interested in photography would be the most likely people to join in. But we had participation on the day from various people who just come into the museum and want something fun to do. And we had cameras to lend out to the people who came, so they didn't have to have known about it. They could just bring their, we could lend them their camera and they went out into the museum and took pictures. And so that was the first year. And the second year, Wikimedia UK approached us and asked us if we wanted to do a Britain one called Britain Loves Wikipedia with all British museums, and would we be the lead partner? And we said yes, because it had been a really good time the year before. And so we were the lead partner, and there were 18 museums who participated across the UK. And for the month of February, people got to go into those museums. A couple of them had exceptions, and they were only open on one or two days during the month. But for most of them, you could just go into the museum for the whole month, take pictures of objects, and enter them into the competition. But this year, the competition was not about quantity, because we found that there was a huge amount of photos submitted, but not all of them were so great. Lots of them were blurry or dark. And if you imagine how it is to take pictures in a museum through a glass case in a kind of darkened room, you're not going to get really great photos. So we wanted to limit the number of photos and make it about quality, because that's what's going to be used to illustrate a Wikipedia article, rather than one that's a little bit blurry, because that's not going to get used. So we focused on quality rather than quantity. And we also shortened the list of themes so that people wouldn't think it was about quantity. We didn't want 50 things on the list. We wanted 6 instead. And they were very general themes: communication, conflict, daily life, transport, love, and freedom. Basically, you could take a picture of anything in the museum and have it fit into one of those themes somehow. That worked better in that people weren't rushing around trying to get as many photos as they could. We had a kickoff event on the 31st of January. It was a Sunday, and that's why we had it not in February. But we invited people to come with their cameras or just join in on the day. And we got about the same number as we had the last year. And we got about 50 people on the day who were very interested in going into the galleries and taking photos. So we thought that was good. Good. Just kind of in the same way as the year before had been. And now we move on to various aspects of the project that were either good or not good, and I'll explain a little bit about how it worked. So I said that 18 museums and archives were on board for Britain Loves Wikipedia, and they were. They opened their doors, they allowed the photographers in, and people may have gone into all of the museums to take photographs, but only 8 museums out of the 18 had any photographs actually submitted to the contest. So it is very possible that on the days that they were open for the contest, lots of people participated. I don't know, because I wasn't at any of the other museums during that month, but lots of people could go around and take photos and just not end up submitting them. And that's what probably happened, because only 8 of them actually had any photos submitted. And that was disappointing. I think that was probably the most disappointing thing about the project to me, because we had had so much work on the part of Wikimedia UK, the Collections Trust, the MLA, and Culture 24, all of them trying to find museum partners to work on this project, telling them that the V&A were the lead partner. And I got in touch with some people that I knew at different museums and said, please, won't you join us? And I think it probably was very disappointing for those museums not to have any submissions that actually counted in the end. Participant numbers. Like I said, we had 50 people on the day, and we must have had more during the rest of the month, because people who weren't there on the day submitted photos later. Out of those 50, only 14 actually submitted photos to the uploading device. So, and we kind of figured that that would happen because it happened the year before. I mean, sometimes it's just fun to go around the museum taking photographs, and that's fine if you, you know, and sometimes you intend to upload them and then you just never end up doing it, or you kind of think you're gonna, and then the deadline has passed. And even though you could take photos all the way through February and upload them all through February, we also extended the upload date to the 15th of March so that people who had taken the photos could actually like have some time to process them or whatever, excuse me, and upload them. So we got 14, and 40 participants out of the entire, using any museum in the event, contributed to the competition. Some of those were staff, I think. I think I recognize some of the names of people who contributed photos. So, but 40 people uploading images from 8 different museums, that's quite good. So those numbers were good for me. The eligible photographs, we had 530 in the end. The ones that were done by Wikimedians were not counted as part of the contest, but are still, I think, on the Wikimedia Commons to be able to be used. We had 347 of those from the V&A. The other 183 were for the other 7 museums combined. So it was a little bit unbalanced. And even though we had said that the competition was about quality and not quantity, some people took over 100 photos. So out of those 347, I mean, there were only like a small number of photographers. They just uploaded everything that they had. Luckily, a lot of them were really good, but some of them were not great. And I think that if we were doing this again, we would suggest that there was a specific number that you could upload. I know this is not so great for the Wikipedia purpose, because really what you want is a lot of images to illustrate articles. But from the museum point of view, it is a really lot of work to go through that many photographs. It also makes it so that the people who are taking like 100 photographs would have to choose their best ones. And so we wouldn't have to have the ones that were blurry or dark or whatever. And it also would make a more balanced workload. And the person who did those 347 photographs is me. It took me about 4 weeks to just, because when somebody uploaded it to the system, I had to check all of the information that goes with the photograph, with the object. So I had to find the accession number, which most of the time they would have added in with the photo. But then I had to copy and paste or get the information from somewhere, from our collections search, and put it in with the photograph that was going to be on the Wikimedia Commons. So it was identified as a V&A photograph. It had the proper information. That takes quite a while, so I was working on it for all the month of March, pretty much. So I would say limit the numbers next time. The uploading systems were different each year. The first time we did this, we used Flickr. That was a decision made by the Brooklyn Museum, and it works really well in when you think about the communication that participants can have with each other. We had people on the Flickr site beforehand. We were sending out messages, especially to the London Flickr group, and they were kind of saying, yeah, I'm gonna come on the day, and then during the competition, there were lots of questions about different rules, and we were there to answer them, they were there to talk to each other. And the other use of Flickr was that if people's photos were uploaded to Flickr, then they could use them for all sorts of other things. And let's say like one picture of Anne of Cleves that was taken at the V&A was asked, or the person who took it was asked to add it to 4 different groups on Flickr, because it was just the right, it was a very good quality photo, and it was the kind of thing that they wanted in that group, the 6 wives of Henry VIII, or whatever group it was, several of them. And so that worked out quite well, but it was very hard for the museums to do it on Flickr, because There was no particular, I mean, it was very hard to find which photos were from the contest. So we changed it this year, and we did it with a bespoke uploader, which was made by Mike Peel, who is sitting right there. Yeah, he spent his time making that, even though he was doing a PhD at the time. And for that, we thank him, because it was really easy to use for the photographers and for us. And it made all the pictures easy to find and easy to add the information to. So that was great. The only thing was the contestants could not see each other's photos for a while, and then they also couldn't really get in touch with each other or communicate or use those photos in the way that they would for Flickr until they got onto the Wikimedia Commons. And that's just a screenshot of the Flickr from 2009 where people are talking to each other and there are different conversations going on. The timing and the deadlines were a little bit of a problem. That was one of the places where it was more on the bad side than the good. I think it was because we didn't have enough time to set up the Britain Loves Wikipedia properly before it actually could happen. We got the uploader made, which was great, but there was not a lot of promotion of the event, so people didn't really know about it as much as they could have known. Also, after the event was done, there were no set deadlines for the museums to finish checking the photographs. So I was kind of thinking, well, I better finish at the end of March. And I said that I would finish at the end of March. So that gave me a month from when people were finished taking photos. And then, so I did my 347 photos. But then it took the other museums quite a while to check theirs as well. And I know that the previous year, the Metropolitan Museum, who had like 1,200 photos entered, didn't actually do the checking in the end because it was just too much work. They didn't realize they were going to have that many. There was also no set deadline for the judges to pick the winners, so it took a very long time for that to start to happen. And while all that delay was happening, public communication was fizzling out and people weren't kind of paying attention anymore. And that's a little bit deadly when you have that kind of contest to run, and you need it to be, you need the energy to keep it going. So one person asked me, when is the prize going to be announced? And I couldn't tell him. Image rights issues were a big one as well, because we didn't, we had done the contest last year and we hadn't had any issues with image rights. And this year we did the competition and I realized only by chance that one of the departments in the V&A, of which my colleagues are here today, I didn't even realize that they would be interested in this kind of thing. And yet they were interested because some of the money that the museum makes is from selling image licensing rights to use our images. And so they were, there was some worry about whether, you know, they would be losing out on any of the money that they would have made if these images were of good quality and high resolution and they were put on Wikimedia Commons with the Creative Commons share-alike license. So there has been a lot more communication with that department now, and I think we are on board together for anything in the future that happens. We'll always be consulting with one another now. One of the good things was the use of images to illustrate the Wikipedia articles. So out of the 500 and something that eventually entered the contest, right after the contest was over, like without even anybody telling anybody about it, there were 12 uses of the photos. And then by October, there were 61 uses of V&A photos. And as of the end of October, out of all of the museum's photos, which is 500 plus, there were 80 uses to illustrate Wikipedia articles in 12 different languages. So that I thought was quite good because I heard somebody say earlier today that 5 to 10% was like a good number, and this is more closer to 15 to 20%. So I think that was quite good. And here is one of the Wikipedia articles that got illustrated with one of the photos from the V&A. And just a quote to finish, from somebody who participated in both years. He said that he was rediscovering places that he had forgotten in the V&A and in other museums, because he participated at different ones, were never even previously discovered. And this is a guy who comes to the V&A a lot. And I have to say, having looked at all of those photos really carefully, I didn't even know some of those objects that people had taken photos of. I had to go around and find them because they were so interesting, and I didn't, you know, I had never actually seen them before, even though I walked by them. So that was one really good way of having people come and participate and tell us that actually it really did make a difference to them, even as regular users of the museum. And that's all. So I have time for a few questions, I think.
Huge problem normally, and particularly with decorative arts items on commons, that they don't have the descriptions.
Yeah.
And you know, with a plate or something, if it doesn't have a decent description, you're never going to guess what it is. Yeah. You can't use it. And those images have fantastic descriptions. Where I think it fell down a bit is at our end, actually, that a lot of those images on commons are not categorized other than in a dump category.
Oh,
in the
V&A,
and I and Roger Vitulus and people are working very slowly through them, but they won't really get used as much until they're put into the regular commons categories. I think that wasn't considered, although commons categorization is a bit of a nightmare, that wasn't really considered beforehand. I think I made some comments on the talk pages. Do you want to respond to that, Mike? But thanks for all that work on putting the descriptions up.
Just to say that when I was designing the upload process onto Commons, I could not figure out how to put all of these images into individual categories apart from doing it individually. And when you've got 500 photos, that's difficult. So that's part of the reason.
And it's not a logical system, it's a nightmare. But that is a constraint, you know.
Yeah. I also just want to throw in a quick statistic, which is these images which are used on Commons, last month they were viewed 400,000 times, or the articles they're in reviewed 400,000 times. So that's a lot of thumbnail views, and that's just a small amount of images.
Yes, thank you for presenting this project. Something caught my attention is that when you said that if you do it again, you would limit the number of pictures because it's too much processing. Last month, there was this project in the Netherlands which was called Wikilos Monuments. Have you heard of it?
It sounds familiar.
Sorry?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. The aim was to take pictures of the historical monuments in the Netherlands.
Yep.
It's got a Rijksmonumenten. I think Martin Damers would speak better than me about that. In 1 month, they had 12,000 pictures. Is that it, Martin? 12,000? Yeah. And that's a lot. So I can imagine what the judges, how they managed to do that. But on the part of the metadata processing, the metadata adding, so in this project you had to do it yourself?
Sorry, yeah, I had to do it myself, yeah.
Well, that's I can understand how big the job is.
Yeah, and it's purely personal that I would want the number of images to be limited to a certain amount. Unless, actually, I made a note to myself. I said, intern next year. So maybe I'll get an intern in to do that.
just to finish, in the Wikilos Monuments project, they had a system where there was an automatic process to fetch the data and to put it on the pictures.
Yeah, that would be great if that could be done. But if there are 18 different museums participating, it would have to be able to do it from each of their different search the collections functions or databases or whatever. So, for us, it was easy because our search the collections was vastly better this year than it was the previous year, and that's thanks to a couple of people in the audience as well. So that really helped me save some time, whereas the year before I spent loads more time doing the information checking. And I guess it really depends on the museum and their the ease of use of their system.
Well, we can help with that.
Yeah.
I
I think a difference with Wikilove's monuments and also the similar one with the History World and the 100 Articles kind of project we did with the British Museum relative to these projects is that those ones were based off an existing list. So Wikilove's monuments, there was a specific list of monuments. So there was, you know, here are 3,000 specific objects we are trying to articles we are trying to illustrate, as opposed to this was take photographs of things and find subjects in which they can be illustrated. The question.
Thanks. Yeah. I just want to ask: Did the images get linked back to your site and your own online collections to enrich that, or?
Yeah. The information that I put in was taken directly from our Search the Collections. I copied it and pasted it into various places. There was also a section where I could put a permanent link to back to the Search the Collections, which I did in every instance which I could, which was most. So yeah, it goes right back to the V&A if somebody clicks on the link.
Thanks.
I just wanted to comment that limiting the number of entries to the competition probably wouldn't be that big a deal from Wikipedia's point of view, since certainly my approach was that I uploaded the ones that Wikipedia wanted straight to Commons and then threw the interesting ones into the competition as entries. So,
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea to limit, because then people self-select their own most interesting and best ones. What I would also maybe say is that when we are devising a list to make it less general and more specific according to actually which articles need images, because you might get 100 photographs of teapots and you already have an article about teapots that is populated with images, and no matter how good the new ones are, they're not going to replace the ones that are already there. So really what you would be looking for the most is something notable and something specific.
Hello, I'm Ruth from Culture 24, and I remember helping with recruiting museums. It's a little bit. It sounds like the project itself was brilliant last year, but obviously, seeing as we're a public-facing cultural website, it's a bit concerning to hear that 10 of the museums that participated didn't get any submissions at all. What do you think? First of all, are you planning on doing it in 2011? Secondly, if you are, what can you guys do and what can we do and what can the cultural community at large do to improve that rate of participation and to kind of help anybody that participates in 2011 to actually get some photos back?
First of all, we don't have anything planned for February 2011. That would be the natural point of having another one, seeing as how it's February every year. But we may do the thing again in the future. And if we did, first of all, I would say that doesn't mean that those museums didn't get any participants, just that the participants didn't upload their photos. So what I would say is, if the museum could, to have a day where people are invited specifically to come in with computers and techie people there to help them upload their pictures, because that may be what the stumbling point was for them. They had all these nice pictures on their camera, but they just couldn't figure out, you know, how to get them off the camera and then onto the uploader. and I would also say planning it further in advance and more publicity about the project would certainly have helped. And I know that some of those museums came on board right at the last minute, so would not have been as prepared as they could have been. And yeah, I think it would be, you know, a job to get them more prepared and get their audiences to know about it ahead of time so that they were prepared to actually do the event.
Well, I think that's everything. Thank you very much, Nadia. And thank you to all of our presenters. That ends the formal proceedings of GlamWiki UK. We have one more session from Joseph Seddon to wrap up and generally try and work out what comes now, which is an audience participation session. First three rows will get wet. A couple of things just in terms of housekeeping. I'll be asking all presenters by email in the next week or so to upload their slides to a SlideShare group. We've also been recording the audio, which hopefully will come to us, and we can upload those as well on Wikimedia Commons. If anyone's got a problem with the audio file of their presentation being shared under a CC license, one, that would be highly ironic, and two, please tell me. Three, I will also send an email out to all registered attendees with a bit of a survey, asking what we could have done better, and so forth. This should all be in the next week, I hope. Is there any other housekeeping I need to address? Oh, immediately after the closing of this session, the museum stays open until 5:30. It's now 20 past four. After this session, I will be running an alternative reality tour of the British Museum based on which objects have feature article about them or which objects have edit wars about them, and generally completely independent tour of what you might normally expect from an official tour of the British Museum, which would be fun, I think. So if you'd like to join me on that. Otherwise, Matthew, can you suggest a pub that's larger than the Museum Tavern?
It'll be quieter tonight because it's Saturday. It won't be as
It's Saturday, so it'll be quieter.
Yes, because it's quite a tourist pub. So what's the other one along the museum?
Okay, then. So if you think there'll be space, then...
There's also the Plough, which is further on Museum Street on the other side of the road.
Okay, well, that was doing karaoke yesterday, I believe, but we'll... So the Plough. The Plough tonight after here, if you'd like to join us at the pub, Museum Street, so immediately out the front gates, keep going down that road on the right-hand side, about a block down. We'll meet you there for a drink. Joseph.